Welcome to the Hoof and Fang Podcast. I'm Kirk Graves.
And I'm Maz Maddox.
It's March.
It is March.
Oh, the merry days of March.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Spring is about to sprung.
Mm-hmm. It's getting
about
there.
About to get sprunked.
Get sprunked. I love that. I love that word.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are in the month of weird holidays and also the month that I'm leaving Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So it's very bittersweet. Like, I love that the weather's getting better, but also.
Oh, well, now that you've said that.
Yeah.
It is actually supposed to snow tomorrow.
Really? Yeah. Damn it.
So just a couple inches and hopefully it melts quickly. But yeah. Oh, I'm fully expecting there to be a blizzard.
Oh God.
While you're driving south.
I don't say that. Don't put that eagle out there.
This is good. My vigilance in expecting this will actually help you.
Oh, okay.
You thinking it won't happen, that's what will make it happen.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
We've had late spring snowstorms several times over the last few years. So I'm sorry, but you're not out of the woods.
Man.
You might.
That would suck. You
need
so
to keep
bad.
You need to keep your eye on the forecast that whole week, so that if you need to, you can go early.
Mm, yeah, we may have to.
And warn your coworkers that, like, hey, by the way, if it looks like a winter storm is a brewing, I might not be in on a Wednesday because I'll be driving to you.
Yeah, no shit. Well, and like the person who's setting up our house, apparently a lot of the stuff that they're fixing and getting ready for us is going to be down to the wire. Cause I was asking if we could drive there on the 23rd instead of the 24th. And he's like, maybe. So if I need to drive earlier, it's going to be tricky.
Well,
so,
but the point would be to get there, even if you have to stay in a hotel for a night.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
So that's just part of the fun.
Yeah.
You know, cause when is all your stuff being picked up?
So here's the fun thing. They're picking it up on the 17th.
Okay.
So we're going
to have
a
while to live out of a suitcase.
Yeah. So we're going to be living out of a suitcase in a very empty apartment for a couple of days before we actually get on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the delivery window is wacky. So they're like, we could deliver at any time between the 19th and the 27th. I was like, okay, well, we'll probably be there on the 24th. And they're like, okay, but if we try to deliver it and you're not there, we have to put it in storage. I was like,
okay, well then don't try to deliver it.
And that's what I said. I was like, well, you know, I'll be there on the 24th. And I'm like, well, that's not how it works. Like they package it up and then there's the window of delivery. So if they try to deliver it any time between the 19th and the 27th and you're not there, we have to take it to storage.
Is it just a big container
I don't know.
They can put in the driveway?
Or I don't know. I think it's a truck. I think it's a truck.
That they're going to unload it twice,
I guess,
rather than just get there at the right time.
Mm-hmm, that's what I said. I was like, well, because then you'd have to coordinate with me to bring it all back, I assume. And they're like, yeah, we'd have to do that. And I was like, seems counterproductive.
Yeah.
Like, if you know when I'm going to get there, shouldn't you just slide the scale?
Right.
But,
That is odd.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that because I have a feeling they're going to call us like on the 19th when we're still sitting in Wisconsin being like, no, man, we're not there.
Yeah. Like, as I explained to the person who set all of this up.
Yeah.
No one is there until the 24th.
Right.
Thank you and goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So. Do what you need to do, but please have my stuff there on the 24th.
No shit.
Or at least the 25th. Let's say the 25th.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, let's make it work. But yeah, so it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But you know what? As you have said, they do these things all the time.
Right.
I'm sure this company that you work for uses this other company all the time to move employees to the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're used to it. And even though they're like, I'm not going to make any guarantees, hopefully she made a little note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And they will try to actually honor that.
Yeah.
And if not.
It is what it is, right? Like, that's all you can do. You can only control so much of the situation.
Right.
The rest of it is just on everyone else.
Right. And you'll have the necessities because you had them when you were living in squalor in Wisconsin.
Yeah, squalor? In the empty house?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, that's the part I think I'm least looking forward to because, man, is that going to be boring because our TVs and stuff are all going to be gone. I mean, we'll have our laptops.
Computers.
Yeah. But we'll be like sitting on an inflatable mattress trying to watch TV. The cats are going to be losing their damn minds. Mm-hmm. So, yay.
I mean, do you have like folding chairs?
Yeah, we have camping chairs. Okay. And
keep those behind. Mm-hmm. So you have something to sit upon.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We'll keep the chairs. And I think we've got a little dinky like fold out table that we can so like.
If you don't, I do.
Yeah.
And those are certainly things you could borrow for a week and drop off before you leave.
Yeah. I was like, we can make it work. Yeah. And get some paper plates and just kind of chill until we leave. But yeah, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to have like no furniture for a week. Mm-hmm. So it's, ugh. But oh well. Yeah. It's fine.
It'll be like being kids again.
Yeah,
kind of. You know, when you get your first apartment and you don't own anything.
Yeah.
Plus then a week later, you'll be like, look at all this stuff. Look at all this stuff we have.
That is very reminiscent of like first apartment, because when me and Alex moved into our first place, we had an inflatable mattress, a crate, and a TV.
No. Yeah.
That's it. We had nothing else. So it'll be kind of like that again.
At least you had that TV.
Yeah. We had the TV. It was like one of those little tiny ones from like my childhood bedroom. So it was like one of those small tube TVs.
Yep.
Yeah. That thing lasted forever.
Well, but they needed to.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah. It's weird thinking that, again, just how fast technology moves that like when I moved out of my parents' house, I had a tube TV.
Yeah.
It was not flat screen.
Nope.
Such things were not readily available to people in their early 20s.
No, God, no. I couldn't afford that. So it's just wild. I just, I feel like I've dated us like tube TV.
We're dated.
Yeah.
There's just nothing, nothing we can do about that. I was watching a YouTube video yesterday, somebody breaking down some Drag Race stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something about like, I wasn't even born in the 90s. I was born in 2001. And I was like, oh, we don't I hate need this. That.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate that. No, thank you.
Did you like, just immediately unsubscribe?
I was like, and you don't even look young. Like, I would like, I mean, obviously he's young. He's in his early 20s. But like, I was like, I wouldn't have even looked at you and thought, yeah, you're a millennial, like born in the millennium.
Yeah.
But I guess that's where we're at now.
Hate it.
Even people who look sort of adultish to me.
Yeah.
Born after the year 2000.
Hate it.
Wild.
Yeah, don't like it.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So, well, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We've segued into a topic of us just being like, oh, we're old. Anyway. Yeah. But how's your week been?
We're off to a slow start.
Yeah.
I tried recording today for a little bit. It just, my voice is not back yet.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't have a cough. Well, for people who didn't listen to the early shift, if you're not a Patreon member, I was sick this weekend. Mm. I had what I believe to be the flu. And I didn't have a cough or anything, but I did have a sore throat. And I think it's just inflamed and it has not come down to earth yet. And so even though when I listened back, it didn't sound that terrible, I had no ability to do anything but my own voice. Like there was going to be no character voicing, and it kept cutting out and getting wispy. And it was just like, okay, well, we continue to focus on other things and we will come back at this tomorrow, hopefully feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it another day to heal.
Yeah.
And tomorrow is really the deadline to be like, well, now we have to do it. So even if it means I can't do my usual level of work, we're just going to power through starting tomorrow. But today was still we can fudge it one more day and we'll see.
Nice. Well, good. Yeah. Well, hopefully everything's nice and soothed tomorrow. And so you'll be back on it.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, no shit.
There's really nothing I can do about it other than cross my fingers and hope.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's what's going on in the booth for me, which isn't much.
Is it much? Getting sick kind of, derails a lot of progress. So happens.
Yeah. So, go over on Patreon. We are still doing our Animorphs Nickelodeon series reaction videos.
Those are very fun.
We're having a blast.
Yes.
Please check those out. The early shift on Mondays, whenever we are physically able to do so.
Yes. Yeah. If we're not sick or tired or whatever. Monday mornings, the whole reason we started that is because they usually can be a slog. So that's a nice little break. But sometimes the slog wins and we just can't do it.
Yeah. So, well, who knows where you'll be over the next few weeks.
Yeah. No shit. Right.
So
we'll have to
start doing things remotely.
Yeah,
we're just gonna get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Just making it part of the routine. Mm-hmm. The Monday morning, since I have to go to the office now, is going to be tricky. So it may have to be like an early shift.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what that means.
Yeah, right.
Life will be a changing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Also, for those who haven't already checked it out, I started a new podcast,
mm-hmm.
Partnering with Queers and Quills, the conference, to create Queers and Quills, the official podcast, which started coming out this week. Mm-hmm. So by the time this episode comes out, there will be 2 episodes of Queers and Quills. We're starting with 2 episodes a week.
Sweet.
Depending on how many authors and narrators sign up to be a part of it, we mm-hmm. might have to go up to 3 episodes at some point.
Nice.
Just because there's that many people and that little time before the conference in May. So... it's just a chance to get to know all of the people who are attending
mm-hmm.
Before the actual event.
Yeah.
So hopefully it is more of a time to hang out with friends
mm-hmm.
Who you're already acquainted with versus a bunch of like, who are you?
I don't know what you write.
Right. Like, can you tell me more about who you are? You know, right. Like we can skip past a little bit of that
mm-hmm.
If we are consuming the podcast and you can jump to.
Yeah.
More substantive discussions. Or I don't know, maybe avoid people that you're like, I don't really care for them based on their podcast.
I hope that's not the case for people. You like, know what listening though?
It
the
might
main...
be. Like, yeah, and fair. There's nothing wrong with that, with being like, oh, that's actually somebody who I, you know.
Maybe not for me.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just more, I'm going to prioritize who I want to spend time with.
There you go. Yeah.
And the limited amount of time we have
mm-hmm.
In Portland. So
true.
That's fair. I'm already like, I'm getting nervous about spending time with people.
What do you mean?
Well, because there's so many people.
Oh yeah, just trying to like schedule the time to see everyone. Right.
Yeah,
that's gonna be tough. Yeah, right. There's a lot of really good vendors too. I need to get some FaceTime in with. Like, did you see what Rainbow Crate is going?
The I book did box. Not.
Yeah,
I've been
trying to get on with them forever. So I need to show up and be like, hey, me and you.
Right.
There's something between us. Let's make this work. So.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
I was gonna say, I hope I get to see you at the conference.
Well, in the little author forum, they were like, is there anybody you want to avoid sitting next to? And I was like, if you don't put me by Kurt, I will be offended.
Right.
Like, come on, guys.
I think I said that when he signed up too, because mm-hmm. then it made perfect sense because we could have co-promoted the podcast as well as, well, I mean, we can still do that.
So
but it's like, it's a little different now because you'll have been gone for a couple months and it'll be like, oh, hey.
I know, right?
Brief catch up.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen these people for longer. So.
Exactly. So bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have just some notes ready to go. So here are the highlights from when I last spoke to you.
Right. Yeah. Yep. We'll record a lot of episodes if we have to.
There you go.
As an excuse to get together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll podcast every day we're there.
That might be kind of fun, actually.
Do a...
Yeah, like a like on the floor kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to powwow after after recording because now we're getting ideas.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, go check out Queers and Quills, the official podcast, wherever mm-hmm. podcasts are available, and on this very YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, it's just a different list. I don't know how YouTube works.
Yeah, the little video list thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just its own separate channel thing on our YouTube channel. So. Yeah. Hop on over and watch those.
Yeah, they'll be. I think you'll be able to spot them pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. So, all right. What are we talking about this week?
So, I kind of got inspired from listening to your roundtable. Wow.
Roundtable
podcast talking about y'all's journey to becoming narrators. So, I figured we would talk about best job, worst job, dream job, which I know we have talked about jobs before way back. I think you looked up on episode 5.
Yeah.
So it's been a minute since we talked about jobs, but I don't think we had a chance to talk about like the worst job we ever had or dream job, like scenario kind of stuff. So I figured we'd talk about that today.
Yeah.
So kicking it off, do you have like a best job that you've ever had that you just absolutely loved?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's when I worked for Catholic Artwork Camp, which I know is a strange answer for a lot of people mm-hmm. on this one. And I would say that even above being an audiobook narrator.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it combined so many things that I enjoyed and was good at the time, most of which I would still be good at now, but I'm mm-hmm. out of practice for some of it. But the job entailed running a camp during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 2 jobs over 2 summers. I was the tool manager.
Fun.
And then I was the kitchen manager.
Okay.
Which just required a lot of organization. And I had a team under me when I was the kitchen manager. So I had to kind of be the boss.
Mm-hmm.
which is something I am good at, even though I don't like people. I'm good at taking the reins.
Yeah.
And keeping things really organized and providing people with the resources they need to be able to do a good job and mm-hmm. keeping things on schedule. Like, these are all things I am good at.
Yeah.
Keeping track of details and people and schedules and all of that was very good.
Right.
And so that's the day job.
Okay.
You know, and we're packing up basically a circus worth of stuff mm-hmm. and going city to city.
Yeah.
Every week. So I'm seeing new cities every week.
That is pretty cool.
And then at night we do programming. Mm. So like we're doing little skits, or there's a dance party one night
yeah.
during the week. And then there's like a character, which I was always the character, mm-hmm. you know, who came out every night and did like a silly thing.
Yeah.
Usually started the program every day. Mm-hmm. And then there was also like opportunities to give talks,
oh, cool.
which we could write ourselves
yeah.
and present. And I didn't do many my first summer, but after I did do one, mm-hmm. they realized what I could do.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of that tour and then all of the next summer, I was giving a talk at every camp.
Oh, wow.
Because they were just like,
he's good at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And especially once that they were like, you don't mind doing it. I was like, no, I'm a speech and debate coach. Like,
yeah. This is kind of my thing, dude.
Right. I was like, yeah. This is what I do.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I'm happy to get up and give a talk.
Yeah.
So in that way, it just combined so many of the things that I had been unwittingly training for mm-hmm. my whole life. And it also, like, everything is provided for you. So like,
okay.
you're just making money for the 6 or 8 weeks that you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
I think I did
nice.
9 weeks my second summer. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, because like you're, and this is the bad part, is you're traveling in trucks and vans across the country and you're sleeping on air mattresses in classrooms.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
With other people. There is absolutely no privacy. Sometimes even when showering, like,
oh, wow.
like sometimes those old Catholic high schools just have the group showers.
And it's oh, like, well, yeah, this yeah, is like a gym shower. Yeah.
Like, great.
Mm-hmm, fun.
I mean, to be clear, they made sure we had shower time separate from the students
for sure.
who were
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I figured
for
as
the
much.
Camp.
Yeah.
but it was like, I got to know those guys I worked with
very well.
Quite well.
Yeah.
I would have gotten to know them a lot better if I didn't wear glasses.
Nice.
so.
That's funny.
But, you know, it was just one of those things that, like,
yeah.
Well, I never ever thought I could enjoy myself in this sort of environment, but mm-hmm. like the camaraderie of that turned out to be something I really enjoyed. And it was because it was people who were willing
yeah.
to give up much better paying work over the summer to mm-hmm. go put on like service camp
yeah.
experiences for high school students.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
So like, you know, none of them were assholes.
Right. Everybody wanted to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that makes a huge difference.
Right. So yeah. it really was, for those 2 summers, the best job I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And hard to imagine something that could beat that mm-hmm. for that time of my life. For that
yeah.
season, that was like...
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great job. Mm-hmm. Now, did I lose my real job when I came back from it my second summer? Yep.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, there
they
were, would, like,
they wouldn't hold your spot or whatever?
No, they did. And oh, then okay. I came back and they were like, ooh, just part-time. And then they were like, actually, we don't need you.
Oh,
so I was like, oh.
That okay. sucks.
So, you know, like, yeah. there were consequences to it. And like,
mm-hmm.
you know, in hindsight, it's like, ooh, well. But I didn't do it a third summer. But
yeah.
it was a really, really great job for me
yeah.
at the time.
Do you think you'd be able to go back and do it now? Or is that window closed, do you think?
So I don't think I could keep up that schedule for that many weeks in a row. If I could take a week off in between and like fly to the next location and take a few days off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think there are many parts of that I would still enjoy.
Nice.
But the schedule of working or traveling
mm-hmm.
7 days a week.
That is rough. Yeah.
You know, up before everybody else, especially when you were the kitchen manager, like
mm-hmm.
the one thing about being the tool manager is that as long as you weren't assigned to the morning program, like mm-hmm. you actually got to sleep.
Oh, nice.
Like, yeah. Which was like, I was sort of spoiled my first summer, but when you're kitchen manager, you are the first one up in the whole damn camp
mm-hmm.
every single day. And you're one of the last people to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because you're making sure things are set for breakfast the next morning.
Right. Makes sense.
You're working all day long. And even once the kids go off to do their service projects,
mm-hmm.
We are often called on to then go out to the sites to like take pictures and interact with them to like, you know,
can't just unleash them.
They thought we were cool. You know, like
really?
We were the camp staff, you know, like, oh, you know, like, so when we would show up, it was like a thing. So it was like, it was morale boosting, but there was a point where I was like, really, we got to go take pictures of these damn kids again. I can't just take a
nap. They've got it. They're fine. They take
please?
A nap.
Please. Like, I could just take a nap.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, so no, physically, I don't think I could keep up with
that. Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
Anymore.
Especially 7 days. Y'all didn't have a day off. Well, I guess you couldn't really.
The only way you got a day off was if you happened to be very close to your next location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But even then, like you had to feed the kids in the morning before they went off. Cause there was always a free day at the end of the week where they would go off and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't have to feed them anything in the afternoon or evening. And they are expected to feed themselves the next morning because they're either gone already or like that's their last chance to go. But so even on the day off, we would wake up, we would serve them breakfast, we would clean everything up. And then if we didn't have to immediately get on the road, we could go do something in the city that we were in.
Gotcha.
I think that happened once.
Yeah.
For me.
Just too tight of a schedule otherwise.
Yeah. I went from Charleston, North Carolina to Bluffton, South Carolina. And that's the only time we had it. I had a day off. During a tour. I did my last stop of my first year though was in a city called Kearney, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which was across the bridge from New York City.
Okay.
So over to New York City I went and saw my first Broadway show.
Oh, cool.
Because love of that.
Yeah.
And that was but that was the end where it was like
We
have a day off because we're just driving all the stuff back to Florida, which is where the home base was, and we all agreed. Let's stay a day so we can go into New York and then we'll leave the day after.
That's so cool.
But yeah, so is that. And then I, the one day in Charleston, I think that was it.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
Man.
But yeah, otherwise you're traveling. I mean, and some of those travel days were just like 12 hours of driving.
Yeah. That would be rough. Between all that work and then being like stuck in a car for or a truck or something. Yeah. That would be
and I get motion sick, so I had to be in the front seat. And the rule that the organization had was if you're in the front seat, you're awake. Because you're either the driver or you're the person making sure the driver stays awake.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So
you couldn't even take a nap.
In a group of 10, only 4 people could sleep at a time.
Oh, shit.
Because there were 3 vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah, that part of it would be not as fun, I think. But
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I could do it in my mid-20s. And the strange thing is, in my mid-20s, I was one of the oldest people working that job.
Really?
Yeah. Most of them were younger than me.
Damn.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably have to be young to be able to work that hard for that many days.
And a lot of them were in college still. So it's like they had the summers off.
Yeah.
Which made it easier. But
yeah, make some money during the summer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not beholden to another job waiting for them or something.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
You know, kind of similar. It wasn't really a job because I didn't get paid for it. But when I volunteered doing the, social media for the Society of.
But does that count as a job?
I mean, I got paid and like, I got a bunch of free shit. Like I got a free hotel and flight and all that good stuff. And, I don't know. I think eventually I could have gotten paid, but it just didn't work. But this is like the best thing I did because I was like trying to reflect on the past like actual jobs. I was like, this one was just hit different because I was able to go to conferences doing like really cool science communication, got to network with people. I got to do stuff I cared about and just be around things I really, really loved. So even though I didn't make money, it was something I almost tried to do as a career when I was in my like mid-20s. I was like, okay, I want to be a science communicator. I want to learn.
So it was sort of like an internship.
Yeah, kind of an internship. So maybe we can spin it that way.
Well, you need to.
Otherwise I'm breaking my
cheating.
Own rule. Yeah.
Again.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's that. When I was the social media manager for the Mongolian Institute for Paleontology, it was so fun. Because I not only did I get to travel, but I got to go into these very exclusive conferences that I never would have been able to get into because at the time you had to be working in the field or a student. They didn't just let like fans in. So I was like, okay, well,
because there weren't any.
There's me. and right. a few others. They've since opened it to where you can buy an enthusiast ticket
okay.
and go. But because me and like four other people asked. I think
at the time they rightly assumed that was not worth the effort to make available.
I would have bought tickets.
Until the internet evolved to a certain point
right.
where more people
yeah.
could learn about the work.
Yes. Well, yeah, until they had nerds listening to podcasts being like, I want to go.
Right.
But yeah, at the time.
Were podcasts a thing when you were doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well. Yeah, they were a thing. They weren't super popular, but they were a thing. Yeah. Because the whole reason I found out about this being an opportunity was from the I Know Dino podcast, the dinosaur okay. podcast I listened to. And they interviewed somebody who worked there. And so I emailed them and was like, hey, can I get involved somehow? And then they were like, yeah. And that's how the whole thing kicked off. So, but yeah, it was like being able to be immersed back into the, you know, paleontology academia, like looking at posters and talking to people who work in the field and listening to all the cool work they got to do. And then using that information to also help educate people on mostly Twitter, yeah. like to do, like I did contests and talked about just cool sciencey things and took pictures about stuff. And I got to meet the most deeply interesting people while walking around in that conference. Cause it's people from all over the world doing paleontology. I talked to one gentleman whose name I completely have forgotten now, who was doing paleontology in India, which is hard to do because it's so crowded. And it's just, you know, getting grant money and stuff for that is really tough because it's just not a huge priority in their circles. But he was like, he found, I think, a new sauropod out there where there's not a ton of like really good dinosaur finds out there at the time. Anyway, I'm sure since then it's blown up, but it was just really cool to be like, yeah, this work isn't being done. I'm championing it. And this is something I care about. And I'm like, tell me everything.
Yeah.
So, and I also got to meet a bunch of other science communicators. They were doing the work that people who represented museums, who like worked at the field museum and stuff, just doing cool stuff, like how they were communicating the stuff that most people think is dry and boring into just fun ways to get people, like adults, not just little kids, but like people our age engaged in this content. So I think that was probably my favorite job, even though I didn't get to make any money doing it.
Right.
And it ended up fizzling out because it's one of those kind of career paths that if you're not in the academic space, it's really hard to get a foothold because most of the people who were made a career out of it worked as doctors
right.
in like these spaces. And I was just me. So they would be like, well, where do you work or where did you study? And I was like, oh, I work GameStop. And
yeah.
I didn't finish school because I ran out of money. But yeah, tell me about the cool theropod you found. You
right.
know? So, but yeah, I think that was my favorite. It was networking with cool people, being back into the science space, and just, I don't know, being able to absorb it all and enjoy the company.
And if that job was offered to you with a salary now,
yeah,
would you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. If they were like, yeah, we would pay you to go to these conferences and digest the information and then spread it across social media, I'd have to definitely up my social media game because I'm not like professionally trained in that whatsoever. But yeah, I would do that.
Now you need a whole different degree just for that side of it.
Yeah, now it's a whole art. Like the people who actually do like social media content and are work for people who do that, I am in awe because that shit is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd have to figure out how to get that education, but I would do it if offered.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now segueing from our best jobs to our worst jobs.
Okay.
Do you have a job that you is like top tier, hated it, or at least mildly like, this was a bad job? Like, not for me.
I mean, there are certainly parts of every job that I disliked the most. And with every job, with every job you leave, there must come a time when you decide I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more like those times that I remember as being bad jobs. There's no job in and of itself that I hated from start to finish.
Okay. That's good.
I will say the one that lasted the least amount of time was I was working for a department store in downtown Cincinnati when I was going to Xavier. And I think that lasted all of 2 weeks.
Boo. Yeah.
And it was because one, they kept scheduling me during class. And I was like, I don't know how I could be more clear.
Yeah.
And then I was getting like demerits or not whatever for not showing up. And I was like, again, I don't know how I could have been more clear that I wasn't available. And then when you sent the schedule, I called and said, I'm not available.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. So that one did not last long.
Yeah.
Because after like twice, they were like, basically like, if you don't show up again, you're fired. And I was like, well, if you keep scheduling me when I can't be there, then I may as well just quit.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Consider this my resignation with no notice. I just won't come back.
Right.
And they're like, you can't do that. And I was like,
I mean, yeah, I can.
Sure, I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I can. Because like, I'm like, seriously, I don't know if I ever even got a paycheck from that job.
It sounds like you weren't able to work.
Because
they hired you and like, then wouldn't.
I went through training and I know I was supposed to get paid for that training. And like, but after that, like, yeah, I don't know that I ever worked a full shift because it was just like, you guys, I'm not.
Yeah.
And then, so there's that one was the shortest. And then after that, I did get a job on campus, which I guess is probably the worst one I ever had.
Yeah.
Because it was calling alumni and asking them for money.
That would be rough. That would be a rough job because I'm sure they weren't terribly pleased to hear.
Well, the problem with it really was, so I was on Xavier, which is a Jesuit campus. And like the things I was involved in were the show choir and the Gay Straight Alliance.
Okay.
Not a lot of alumni participated in the show choir and the Gay Straight Alliance, which I think had been started like 2 years prior.
Yeah. Okay.
So they wanted to talk about basketball because it's a Division I basketball school.
Got it.
And I knew nothing about basketball. And so even when
the sport,
even when you would get somebody who was like, oh yeah, you're on campus, huh? What dorm are you in? You're like, it very quickly devolved to talk about stuff I had no interest in whatsoever.
Yeah. I hate that.
And so it was, I struggled with with that.
Yeah, that would be
tough. I struggled with that. And in fact, one time I missed a shift, I think just because I forgot. And the punishment for missing a shift was you had to come in for a shift and just do data entry.
Oh, okay.
I liked that so much more. Like after that, I talked to my boss. I was like, can I just do that? Like, do you have that to do every week? I'll just do that for a shift a week. And she's like, no, we have to save that for punishment. And I was like,
or just not have punishment.
You're incentivizing me to skip a shift and then come in and do that.
Yeah,
instead, right? Like that I can do. Talking to people about the school.
It's not my
strong
point.
Which is mostly basketball. It's sort of like living in Green Bay. It's mostly the Packers. Going to Xavier was mostly basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be rough. You'd think that they'd be like, oh, cool. Somebody who wants to do the like boring stuff. Like, let's just put them on a computer. That's fine. And maybe stop punishing people for missing. Right. What a weird thing to have baked into your, into the job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess most college students didn't like it, but like, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
It's just entering numbers. Like, great. I can do that.
Yeah. Just listen to headphones and just. Right. Sounds great.
Yeah. So, and of course it was one of those things incentivized by like sales and like, if you got a new donor, you got like a $10 bonus, or if you got somebody over $1,000, you got like a $10 bonus. And it was just like,
I'm not going to get that.
I'm not incentivized by that. I'm not driven by that type of like sales.
Yeah. I'm the same
superiority.
Way. Yeah. I'm not a salesperson.
So, I mean, the school didn't last long. So that job didn't last long, but like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like sales either. I did retail forever. And a chunk of the time working retail was sales. I suck at it. Yeah. I was always in trouble about not meeting sales goals, but somehow I never got fired. But yeah, well, I was really bad.
You're showing up. In hindsight, as adults, we look back on that. And I'm like, well, they were showing up and you were like,
right.
I would have had so much less anxiety about that job if I had known now what I know.
Oh, for
if
sure.
I had known then what I know now, which is that I was a body showing up and I was dialing the phone.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted me to do.
Right.
And whether or not I hit on somebody who was willing to give a lot of money or not, didn't really matter because I could hang up and call the next person.
Right. You were there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. I wish I could teleport back to like 21-year-old me and be like, it doesn't matter. You're showing up on time.
Yep.
You're doing shit. They don't care that you can't sell stuff. At least try. Yeah. Try, but don't be like upset when somebody yells at you, because honestly, what are they going to do? Fire you? No, they're not.
No.
You're sweeping the floors. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's yeah. just, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. So what was your worst job if it wasn't sales?
I think it probably was being a waitress. I did that for a year. It was my very first job.
Hmm.
That job sucked.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sales sucked, but at least I was like, well, I was bad at sales, but the rest of the job was okay for the most part. 911 was hard. I had some trauma coming out of that, but at least it was like, I'm doing something good. I'm helping people.
Right.
Being a waitress.
And you had time to read gay books.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, there's so many positive things that came out of that, but being a waitress, no, that just sucked from top to bottom.
I don't see that for you.
Mm-mm, no.
No.
No, I was 18. It was my first job. I was not good at it. It was very hard. I worked at a Cheddar's. It used to be Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen. No, it was Casual Cafe. Now I think it's Scratch Kitchen. Totally different brand. But we were across the street from a Six Flags. And it was the worst. So like during off season when Six Flags wasn't open, nobody came to it because it was in like a weird area that you had to know it was back there to even go. But during the time when Six Flags was open, we were literally across the street. So all the kids who were tired, who had like passes or whatever, they'd come over to us for something to eat. And that job was rough because it was mostly teenagers all paying like cash. And it was like a group of 15 sharing a bowl of chips because nobody had any money.
Right.
They would trash the place. I remember during really busy times, we didn't have people to bust the tables. I think they were just trying to cut costs now that I'm like reflecting back on it. So I had to bust my own tables and like tackle people as they were coming in. Dude, that like physically, that job would murder me now. I don't know how I don't have like a hunchback and bad feet from like those just summer hours of just busting my ass. And I would walk away with like, I don't know, maybe $100 in tip for the entire day. Like, I would work doubles and get paid nothing because it was just kids. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I had that job for a year and I was delighted when I finally got to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucked. So that's why I tip really well, because the job's hard.
I liked restaurant work.
Yeah.
And I would have stayed at my restaurant job if the owner hadn't gotten a new boyfriend who was an asshole.
Oh, really?
That was my teenager restaurant job. I had a great restaurant job. It was my first job. I started at 14 as a dishwasher, moved my way up to like waiting tables and then making some of the food and would have stayed, except the owner got a new boyfriend and
he was a jerk.
He was an asshole and assumed everybody was stealing from them.
Oh, God.
And so all the perks went away. Because we were all a bunch of selfish teenagers who were taking advantage of this lady. And it's like, we got one small pizza or French bread pizza per shift. That was our perk.
Yeah, that's a good perk when you're a kid.
And otherwise, we are earning minimum wage.
Well, was it minimum wage or was it like the waitress or waiter minimum wage?
When I was washing dishes, it was regular minimum wage, which at the time I think was $5.25.
Yeah, sounds right.
And then when I moved on to waiting tables, it was whatever the $2 one.
Yeah,
$2.75 or something like that. I think it's up to $2.13 now.
Ooh.
It was, you know, that plus tips.
Yeah.
But we were stealing from her.
Yeah.
We were taking advantage of her if we took that perk every time. So it went away. And I was like,
no.
Like every time, when you start to get that feeling of dread when you have to go to work, it's the reason I've quit every job I've quit. Because it's like when it starts to feel like I'm dreading going to work, it's time to find something else.
Yeah.
And so even at 16, or maybe I was 17 by that point, it was like, I got to find something else to do. And even if I can't, I got to tell them I found something else to do
because
I
need to go. That's how I felt. I hated going into that waitressing job because it was so hard. And like there were three managers. One of them was a terror. I hated him. His name was Willie. That man, if I knew I was working with Willie, I knew it was going to be a bad day. That dude suffered no fools. He yelled at us constantly. Guy sucked. The other guy's name was James. I still talk to him.
Oh, that's
fun. He was a wonderful, sweet guy. I don't know, never seemed to disconnect after that. So now he's like, I don't even know what he does now. But yeah, he was such a cool manager. Yeah, that job was hard.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we've done our favorite jobs, our worst jobs. what is our dream job? So do you have a job that you, like, if you could...
You know, I was trying to think of what this would be, and mm-hmm. I don't know that there's a permanent answer. Because okay. I think if it were to be right now, mm-hmm. if I was to do something else, it would be something with my hands. It would be like okay. woodworking or
yeah.
cabinet making or yeah, something. Yeah. Like not in a big factory, but like
something like bespoke.
In a shop. And, yeah. yeah, something like that. Mostly because it's so different from what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still something that I would enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some physical work, mm-hmm. which is something I've never done.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be, that would like,
yeah.
It's hard to say dream job because like, right. I certainly see the parts that would be hard about that, the physical labor mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm sure I would have more injuries and whatnot. Right. But you know, if it's not something to do with audiobooks, then mm-hmm. yeah, I think I'd want to just go in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
But I would not have said that otherwise mm-hmm. because like my parents built furniture. Like that was their job when I was a kid. They both worked for Richardson Brothers Furniture mm-hmm. In Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Nice.
And built tables and cabinets. Mm. And that life did not seem like something I was aspiring to at the time.
Right.
But now I'm like, I don't know. You know, you go in, you clock in, you work with wood all day, you mm-hmm. build things, you have something to show for it.
Yeah, yeah. A physical thing.
A physical thing. And then you clock out at the end of the day and you don't think about your job again until you go in.
Right. You know,
what's so wrong about that?
Right. It's just, it's a good, you know exactly what you need to be doing. Like there's no wild cards that are going to fly at you. Mm-hmm. So it does sound nice. Just a good, like, no, I wouldn't say simple job because I'm sure it's very, very complicated. Sure. To like craft furniture, but like something that like, you know what it is and it's just tech, like tactile and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing too about factory work mm-hmm. that I mean, I'm sure I turned my nose up at that for so long.
Yeah.
But now having worked in a lot of offices mm-hmm. and that sort of setting, if you're working in a factory and you have to like put on your noise canceling earmuffs mm-hmm. and just focus on your task at hand, like I am building doors for a hutch mm-hmm. this week.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to talk to you.
No.
Everybody's going to leave you alone. You can say hi. You can choose who you want to say hi to over lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to doing your job. I'm sure a supervisor comes around, but it's not like in an office where people can stop by your desk,
mm-hmm.
where they can send you a fucking email that'll piss you off. Where you can be, where you can just like observe awful behavior.
Yeah.
Or overhear somebody being an asshole.
Yeah.
There's no customers to have to kowtow to.
Mm-mm.
Man, later in life as an adult, I'm like factory work.
Yeah.
I don't know why I turned my nose up at that for a long time. And now I'm like, I don't know.
Well, maybe that's just where
there
you
must,
are now.
There must be some advantages to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. And like, I mean, I'll never do anything customer facing again. Like,
correct.
I have planted that flag. I was like, even if we are destitute, I'll like maybe do Uber Eats, but they better be like, leave it at my door. Cause if they're mm-hmm. like, hand it to me, I'm not doing it. No eye contact.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think kind of mirroring that, like when I was typing out these questions, I was like, I don't know if I have a, like, this is the dream job I've always wanted to do. I think depending on the day you catch me, it'll be a totally different job. Like today I was like, owning a bookstore would be cool. Yesterday I would have been like, I don't want to do that. That's customer facing. Or like, I would want to do like own a restaurant or some type of business focused thing. Or my dream job would be like fostering kittens, like maybe doing an animal rescue thing. So I think it kind of just depends on the kind of day I've had because I think I definitely would want to do something to where I feel like I'm contributing to something in a positive way, like the animal rescue things, or if like if I had a bookstore, it'd be an indie bookstore and I'd really platform like queer representation, like something that I can feel like I'm helping in some even tiny way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for the most part, other than the Mongolian dinosaur thing I got to do and 911, I haven't really done anything that really helps. It's always just been stuff I've been interested in.
Right.
But I really loved when I worked at 911 that I felt like I was helping. Like I was actually contributing something positive to the world. So I think if I was going to do another dream job, I'd want to do something that is making an impact even in a tiny way. But I don't know what that would be exactly.
I just want to earn enough money to live and then go home.
That, I mean, that's a good goal. You're like, I don't owe anybody shit. Yeah. I just want to get a paycheck and be with my family.
Right.
That's fair.
That's
a good goal.
That's a dream job for me moving forward.
Hey, I get it.
Where nobody bugs me, but I still get paid.
Yes. That's good. Gold star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Well then, yeah, that's our, oops, I keep trying to slap the microphone. Yeah.
What did the microphone ever do to you?
It knows what it did.
Well, on that note, I guess we will say goodbye. You know where to find us in all the places. Check us out at hoofandfangpodcast.com or over on Patreon or at any of our socials. And if you haven't already, go check out Queers and Quills, the official podcast. And my other podcast, The Narrator Roundtable, is also airing new episodes right now. So I guess just go listen to me all the time.
Yes.
You can hear my voice constantly.
That's why you're here.
At this point, in March of 2025, I'm everywhere. Yes.
You've got three opportunities at least.
You can listen to me like one episode a day.
Mm-hmm.
So go check all that out. And we will be back next week.
See you then.